Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 10 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and this is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds, and it's never been a better time to talk about Big Brother feeds, as we are living it up here in the Big Brother land. With me this week to talk through it all is Chantel. How you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing great. I mean, I'm really enjoying this season on a whole. I love all the characters. I love that people are actually playing. And so it makes coming and doing the roundtable really fun because we actually have some good stuff to talk about. And so, yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yes. I mean, what a wild ride we've had in really just the last week, where every single day brings a new element to be added, a new path to go down. The game could go in any which direction. Also with us here to talk about it is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I am doing well. Kind of well. There's a pipe.
I was waiting for it.
Pipe burst in my house today. Or not in my house, right outside my house. So that was not lovely dealing with that all day. And of course, like work and everything's so fun. And then, so basically I went to bed last night thinking that this flip was like all good and like Herman is staying. And then all of a sudden I check before the podcast and we're no longer good. So I don't know what the heck's going on, but I am very excited to talk about it with you guys and figure out what the heck is happening here.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. I mean, it's honestly, it was a similar thing when the veto happened and everyone thought that Gino had won the veto. And I was like, okay, that's it for the rest of the week. Then this should be pretty straightforward. And then it was like, nope, actually it's Kevin. I was like, okay, now buckle up. We're in for a ride. Oh boy. So. Yes, lots to talk about here on the roundtable. And it's really like this season has been a great season for the roundtables because there's so much to talk about that we need to contextualize. I mean, you can follow along every day and you should. But I think it will help to be able to pull back for a second because where we are right now in the week feels like so far removed from where we were the last time we spoke, which was when Tanisha was up on the block against Moose.
Like, who? I forgot about that.
I know, really.
That was a week ago?
Like, that's so crazy. Especially, yeah, with like the double and everything. Oh, man. It's been wild. That feels like a million years ago.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's, you're right, Steph. You're right. So let's talk about it. What are some general thoughts we've had so far? Cause I've expressed my thoughts. I'm loving this season. I feel like it's been firing on all cylinders. It has not let up. I feel like there's just very little, that it's failing, on in terms of metrics that we look for. And this week is a prime example of just like every single step of the way things are ridiculous. But there also is lots of strategy happening. There's manipulation. There's terrible decisions. There's great decisions. Big moves are being made. Big players are at war. It's big stuff here, Chantel.
I totally agree. And I think the one thing that I'm most surprised by is that preseason we have like, Kevin, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to be the master manipulator. I'm going to take out Canada's favorites, all that stuff. And you're always, I'm rolling my eyes. It's like, I'm sure you are. I'm sure this is just the player, the character that you're putting on to get on the show. You're not actually going to be that guy. And then he's actually being that guy and being good at being that guy. And so I'm like shocked and surprised and really pleased that we have somebody that's going in there with an intention of playing in a certain way and is able to do it so effectively. So it's really fun to watch. And it's really surprising to see how easy he's able to kind of manipulate these players and get them to do his dirty work. And to us, it seems pretty obvious at times, but to the players, they're just like feeding into all of the things that he says. So I'm really loving that we have a character like Kevin that we don't usually get that guy, at least not recently anyways, playing this game and seeing how he's able to get himself to the end. Because at this point, I can't really see him leaving the game. Like, I feel like he gets to the end in every scenario.
exceedingly rare that the person who says I'm going to be a manipulator in the game actually is.
Right?
So rare that I don't know that it's ever really happened. I mean, like Dan manipulated the producers in his pregame stuff. I have no idea what Dr. Will's pregame stuff was before season two. But like, I don't exactly recall what Eric Stein said he would do. I feel like he probably said he was going to be a manipulator and he probably lived up to that role. But man, like, most of the manipulators are not people that said they would be manipulators ahead of time.
Exactly. And so it's just nice to see this type of person doing so well in the game. It's really fun to watch. And that's why I'm so nervous for Hermon, because I do want Hermon in there, because I don't want it to be an easy ride now for Kevin. Like, I love seeing him get out of messes. That's what's fun about his game, is that he's so good at like changing the narrative and making things in his favor. So I'm hoping that Hermon's going to be okay, but
Same. I really hope Hermon stays, just because I do feel like it is fun and interesting to see them kind of like square off. I mean, not that Hermon is necessarily knowing that he's squaring off against Kevin, but like the idea of being able to see both of them try to get their way, when I think that they're two of the strongest people in the house by far. I think that, I mean, obviously Summer is as well, but I think she's strong in a different way. And so I do really hope Hermon stays, if I'm being completely honest. So, you know, obviously the whole flip flopping back and forth is very stressful. But you know, I think one of the telling things that shows like what an interesting season this has been is looking even just like at the Stockwatch. I feel like every week there's a new player in the lead. There's new people that are, you know, falling or, you know, gaining or whatever. When normally I do feel like, and we kind of discussed this last week, is that like there's normally three players, two players, or four players, whatever, some small number of players who are like the good players. And then everybody else is kind of like middle bottom. And I feel like this year we kind of are seeing people go up and down as each week goes. And I think that shows that, you know, you have like a bunch of different layers and different people and different player types that are in this house. And it's not just as simple as like, oh, this is the good player, this is the bad player. Everyone from week to week is kind of changing their position. And I think that it's really interesting. And the fact that it's been very hard to determine who is aligned with who at any point in time, I just feel like everyone's alliances and allegiances change with literally every day, every new person on the block. It's like, oh, well, you think starting out the week, like, oh, this person's never going to vote out this person because they are aligned. It's like, oh, nope, that didn't mean anything. And now they just voted them out. Like, you know, it's very interesting in that way. And that normally you can kind of like tell who's going to be, you know, voting out who, and kind of just like at the start of the week, be like, oh, well, this person's leaving and that's that, which I don't love, obviously. But this season, I feel like you really never know. And especially like having Kevin squaring off against Hermon, like I have no idea who's going to win this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to rate the Stockwatch, because it's like, I just don't know who's going to come out on top in this one. So it's been very, very interesting.
Yes, definitely very interesting here as we have seen things progress. I feel like if the Stockwatch were to have daily ratings, they would be all over place. Last night would have been like, oh, big hit to Kevin, big win for like, Hermon. No, today is like, oh, never mind, reverse it again. And at the start of the week, it would have been the same. It would have been, oh, big hit to Kevin, big, you know, big boost to like Gino and Hermon. And then, you know, then it reverses again. It's been such an up and down series of events. And that's the thing, like when you're thinking about like, oh, who did I purchase in the Stockwatch? How is it going to play for me? And then usually like the HOH result, you're like, oh, okay, this is a great thing for the person I bought, or this is a terrible thing for the person I bought. And then that's it. That's it for the week.
Right.
In this season, it's like, okay, Marty won. That's huge for Marty and Kevin and Josh and Helena. Except, he feels terrible about something weird that happened in the double eviction, and now he's going to do whatever it takes to make it up to Gino, and he's going after Josh. All of a sudden, the person we thought was the safest. Okay, bad for Josh, bad for Kevin. Okay, Josh is going to be safe, maybe middling. Good for Herman. Now things are flipping again. Let's talk through it all because we need to catch you up on everything that's happened here. So the last time we spoke again, Kevin was orchestrating a split vote blindside on Tanisha. That did go through a 5-4 vote. It led straight into a safety chain double eviction, which we saw the details of in last night's episode on Monday night, where we essentially saw that there was an attempt to take Gino out because Gino and Jess were left at the end of the safety chain. And so the rest of the house voted between them. Betty, Josh, Marty, Helena, and Kevin got together. They, in the middle of the double eviction, tried to pull off a flip on Gino, but Betty backed out at the last second because she didn't think Marty was going to go through with it. Marty did end up going through with it, and Betty is the one that ends up backing out of it, and Marty is pissed. He feels like he's been set up, which leads to Marty winning the HOH and targeting Betty and Josh.
Just really quick, that conversation that they all had or whatever, like after the fact, where they were like trying to, like Marty was trying to be like, okay, everybody needs to explain themselves or whatever. Or like Gino is like, everyone needs to explain themselves. And they're like, you know, wow, it's so crazy. Like what a random assortment of people that just so happened to walk into this room. Like it seemed so obvious to me. It's like, they're like, it's just, none of us obviously are working together. It was just a random grouping, huh? It's like, no, like, obviously something's going on. If you guys all walk into a room together, like, how did no one, like, call that out? And then with everybody being like, I didn't say that. Like, I had nothing to do with this. I just stood there. I mean, if I was Marty, to be honest, I'd be pissed. If everyone else, I mean, because if you watch that, even that, like, clip that they shared on social media of, like, that moment, like, it was clear that Marty wasn't initially the one who was like, I want to get him out. Like he was seemingly like questioning it and was, look, I'm not trying to like justify any of Marty's stuff this week, but I'm just saying that like he wasn't the one leading the charge. It was certainly other people leading the charge. To me, it seemed like Kevin and Josh were leading the charge. Josh was like making explanations and justifying it. And Kevin was doing this whole thing. And like,
yes, then Marty
is right. And then Marty's like, okay, I guess we're all doing this. I'll do it. If you guys are doing it, like we're all doing it. And then like they all just leave the room and then it turns out they don't do it. Like, and then later on when they're trying to like catch someone out on it, everybody denies it. No one says they did thumbs up, thumbs down. Everybody says they thought it was a bad idea. Like, I'd be really mad. I would think that like, hey guys, like you guys were in there, you did this. And now you're sitting there like trying to throw it on me. Like, I would be mad if I was Marty. Not saying that justifies any of the other additional stuff that went on this week, but I just think that like it, and I, and to be fair, I get it from their perspective. Like I'm not, I wouldn't want to be like, yeah, I was in that conversation. I did that. Yeah. I asked everyone if we should get out Gino. Like I'd be like, I don't know what's going on, but still it was very hard to like watch exactly what happened and then to see everybody deny it like right afterwards. I don't know.
Well, I think what, in some way helped them is that Marty came up with this ridiculous theory that it was all a well-orchestrated trap set for him, which is such a ridiculous explanation that it threw the whole thing into question. Right. And I think that's what lets them get away with the like, what a random assortment of people. Like, why would those people come together to trap Marty? That makes no sense. And it's like, yeah, I guess that doesn't make sense. But Marty is so adamant that it was a trap that it's hard to, you know, see through that. And there's very little discussion outside of Marty's very loud discussion on what it was and what it intended to be, what it was intended to be. And so, I think in some ways, Marty, you know, obviously Marty ratting them out was bad for them in the first place, but Marty's like wild out there theory about the purpose of the meeting, I think helped cover them a bit.
Right. And also, I think him initially saying that he didn't do it and then saying, actually, I did do it and it was a trap. Like, I feel like if you first start out being like, I honestly was just trying to vote with the majority. I thought that's what everyone was doing. They told me this in a room. We all discussed it. I'm sorry. I didn't want to be the odd person out. I thought that's where the votes were going. Like, boom. Like, yeah, obviously it's not great. Like, and if I'm Gino, I'd be still be a little mad if I thought that I was working with Marty and then he voted me out. But I think it's a little more understandable if you are thinking and you are under the impression that that's what everyone else is doing and you're just like sticking with the majority. And so I think him like denying it at first and then saying, actually, I did it and it was a trap, like, is just, that's where it kind of like does not go in his favor. And I think that like he kind of felt like, I kind of messed this one up. But yeah, it could have been handled certainly in a much better way.
Well, it's because Marty doesn't want to actually admit that he thought about voting out Gino. He doesn't want that to be any part of the narrative. So it's like it had to be a trap because there's no way that I would choose to want you out of this game for any reason. So it must have been a trap. So it's his own way of trying to say that he would never actually want to vote Gino out.
Yeah. Like, oh, I just misunderstood how to vote. I thought I was going to keep you. Like, you know, it's like, oh my God. I could see that being his next explanation.
Well, because of all of this, Marty wants to target Josh and Betty. Initially, it's Josh. It changes to Betty. There's a lot of other weird stuff that goes on before the nominations, but ultimately, Josh and Betty are nominated. The votes should be good for Josh to stay, but Kevin goes ahead and wins the veto. And at this point, Kevin wants to try to get his initial idea to happen, which is that he wants Herman to go. That's what he wanted to happen last week. It's what he would have loved to happen during the double eviction. And instead, he got a chance at Gino and that didn't work. And so yet again, he wants to take a shot at Herman, if possible. If he takes out Herman, the game opens up dramatically for him. And it removes one of the few people who's even looking at him as a target. And so the problem is that Herman has a deal with Marty and Marty is saying, absolutely no chance will I do this. So Kevin gets to work. He works on Gino and Jace. He works on Marty. And ultimately they manage to get Marty on board with the idea that he should backdoor Herman. Gino does not push back on it. And Kevin uses the veto on Josh. Herman goes up in Josh's place. Herman is now on the block against Betty. Now, the problem is that this was not really a proper shot taken at Herman because Betty's sitting next to him and Betty would have been a vote against Herman. Now you've lost that vote and you gave Herman the chance to survive this shot because he can get Jason Gino, who should, at least from Gino's perspective, definitely keep him. You've got Moose, who's obviously on board to keep him. And then all you need to do is grab Summer, convince Summer to keep you, and you've survived. And that's exactly what Herman did last night after being put on the block. He got all four of those people on board, saying to each other, let's do it. Let's keep Herman, these four. And he had it for a second. Kevin was informed that things were not going well last night. We get to this morning and Kevin gets to work. Josh gets to work. Betty gets to work. They all three of them talk to Summer in the morning. Josh does a good job of talking to Summer. Betty does a good job of talking to Summer. Kevin gets in there after Summer has kind of been flipped a little bit, I think, and kind of helps seal the deal. We are also going to see that more conversations happen. Kevin's going to talk to Gino. He's going to talk a little bit to Jace and start working against some of the arguments that Herman has been throwing out there, which Josh knows about because Josh is, you know, a plant essentially. And so things start to go in the other direction. Summer goes to Herman and says, I'm starting to change my mind again. Herman's like, seriously? Moose goes to Jason Gino and says, hey, I think with what we're doing, keeping Herman, we can also make a good like final five situation here. Jason Gino, who have already kind of been like, maybe we should rethink this, are now like, whoa, wait a minute. a final five with Moose and Herman and all, like, nah, I don't know about this. And they start to back out. Summer's starting to back out. They start talking. They both agree. I don't know if we should do this anymore. The flip as of right now has flipped yet again, and Herman should be leaving. Things are not looking great for Herman. Some damage has been done. Some of the arguments he was using to flip both Jason, Gino, and Summer have been debunked, have been sort of like argued against, that he's a help to take out Marty. People are like, well, Kevin got in there and said, I'm against Marty. Like, I'm on board to take out Marty. The whole house is on board to take out Marty. We don't need Herman. And that narrative has gotten in there. So that point is kind of gone. Herman's past discrepancies are coming up to haunt him a little bit. The fact that he's been in alliances that he didn't tell people about until after they were exposed, versus Betty's concrete loyalty to you know, whoever, has really helped Betty. Betty, again, also doing a decent job. Josh getting in there, pretending to be neutral while throwing out points. It's been a team effort, and the team is currently sinking. Herman, whose frustration at Summer is, I think, going to potentially further sink his ship, as he has just most recently told Jason Gino, you know what, Summer's too wishy-washy. I'm done trying to pitch to her. I'm just going to focus on Josh. If I get you two, Josh and Moose, that's what I'll need to stay. And that would definitely just completely sink him for the rest of the week, I think, if he goes anti-Summer, because I don't think there's a chance he gets Josh, and he will need Summer. So things are not looking great for Herman as of right now, but it is still Tuesday, and things have been interesting all week long. So that's kind of where we are here in the week.
The one pitch that I'm wondering why Herman hasn't been saying is, look at the five people that were in that room that were considering flipping against you, Gino. Like, they had the discussion. You weren't involved in that discussion. You were on the block. And it was, if they had decided to go through with that, you would be going home. And so look at those five people. They can't be all that trustworthy if those are the people that were having this discussion. And I would be pushing that narrative and making them paranoid, because it seems like Jace and Gino are worried about looking dumb, looking stupid. They don't want Herman to be able to take them out later and be like, it's the game. Like, we got to get you. Like, I had the shot. And so they're kind of worried about looking stupid. And I'd be like, well, maybe think about looking stupid about those five people that nearly took you out of the game.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely correct. I think it's the one play he has left, which is, hold on, everyone. It's exactly what Melissa was saying earlier. That was not a random assortment of people. They were all trying to pull a flip. Those five people came together to make votes. Mm-hmm. In the heat of the moment, when the chips were down, those five people came together. I wonder if they're a group. I wonder if they're an alliance. And if they are an alliance, then you need me. It is going to be imperative that I stay and Betty go, or you will be outnumbered moving forward. It will be Kevin, Helena, Marty, Betty, and Josh. The problem is Josh. Mm-hmm. Josh is the one thing that Herman he hasn't been able to wrap his head around the fact that Josh is very much not with him. That Kevin has very much turned Josh against Herman. Josh has always been more loyal to Kevin, but another thing that happened this week is that Kevin really sunk Herman. Herman went to Kevin to pitch that he not use the veto. Kevin told that to Josh, and then Herman went to Josh and said, I don't think Kevin's interested in using the veto, as though he didn't make a pitch for him to not use it. And that really opened Josh's eyes to, I really can't trust the guy. So Josh doesn't even have it in his mind that, like, maybe a little bit of self-interest means I should keep Herman around. It's very much sinking him. And there are lots of little things like that happening through the week that are vitally important. Another big thing is that, as I've said, Summer has kind of been bouncing back and forth after Summer's conversation with Betty this morning, where Betty somewhat convinces Summer to keep Betty around. Betty says to the cameras, I'm not going to forget. Betty was very upset with Summer for even considering taking her out. And that relationship has been very damaged. Summer's game definitely taking a big hit with the indecisiveness of the vote. A lot of stuff happening here.
I can't remember the exact safety chain, but what didn't it go like Josh, Kevin, Marty, Helena.
Mm-hmm. It went Moose, Herman, Josh, Betty, Summer, Kevin, Marty, Helena.
I don't know. I just feel like for me, like I would think more on that. Like, I guess like if I'm in the house, I'd be like, okay, like people had the chance to save one person. And I get people were kind of like hiding their allegiances or whatever a little bit, or like trying to disguise them a little, or at least Kevin was. But like, I just feel like if you look at that, those people are all like giving it to each other. If I'm like, for example, if I'm Gino or Jace, like those people are all like working together. I'm like one of the final three people. Like you would think like, I don't know. I just feel like, especially in a double eviction scenario, there are no random groupings that go to strategize in a room. Like in a double eviction scenario, you're going to go in a room with the people that you are working with to figure out like, okay, quickly, like, what are we doing? Like no one has time to be like, okay, let's very casually throughout the week, like have one-on-one conversations and like feed information to each other. Like in a double eviction scenario, you have to work quick. So no one has that time and they all just get together, whoever's working together. And like, you need to be paying attention to who these groups are, like who is talking to who. And I just feel like they're not looking enough at that and nobody's using that. And like, you know, I don't know. I think you're right, Chantal. Like that would be a good argument for Herman to make. And like, where is that?
So Jace and Gino are recognizing that they also don't want a final five with the five people that cast the vote for Tanisha. They also don't feel good about Marty, Kevin, and Helena anymore, especially after the safety chain. And also especially because another little thing that happened is that Marty has previously told Gino many times, I've got a secret final two with Helena. I've got her. Which means that Jace knows about it. And Jace tested Helena a bit yesterday, mm-hmm. By asking her, by sort of like throwing out various final twos she thinks Marty has. Helena straight up said, I don't have a final two with Marty. And that made Jace all the more skeptical of Helena and Marty. Marty saved Helena in the safety chain. And they are very skeptical of that whole situation. The problem for them right now is that, again, it's really like, again, they feel like they can get Josh. And there's currently a proposal on the table for a Josh, Betty, Gino, Jace final four, that they're kind of playing around with. And they kind of don't feel like they need Herman in the mix to help take out Marty at this point. And then once they take out Marty, Kevin and Helena are neutralized anyway, right? So, that's kind of their thought process right now. Which again is the reason why I think the key to all of it for Herman is to put the Josh piece of the puzzle in the correct spot. Mm-hmm. If he's able to do that, there's an effective argument that can be made. But until he does that, I think he's probably stuck right now.
And nobody's questioning the fact that Josh was in that room. Like everyone's just like, oh, miraculously, he just happened to be there.
They think that he got involved with something because of Betty. That Betty, you know, Betty was doing something weird, and Josh just kind of got dragged along. Poor Josh.
Oh my God.
What a wounded bird.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think that Josh is enjoying, though, playing with his big brain with Kevin. Like, I think that he's having fun. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's not fully thinking about his game, because I don't know if it's the best for him to be just allowing Kevin to dictate what he's doing in the game. Like, if he knew what Kevin's ultimate plans were, that he's like probably out maybe next or the one after, like he would probably reconsider his allegiance here and maybe think of like, wait, Herman actually would probably take me further than Kevin will. So I wish that, you know, he could see the light as well. But yeah, I totally agree, though. Herman needs to see that Josh is actually feeding all of his information to Kevin, mm-hmm. so that he's not able to be able to act in campaign effectively. So fingers crossed he can figure it out, but I don't think that he will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin and Helena are like the duo. But it's kind of like, they're kind of the duo in the way that like Tyler and Casey were the duo, but it was really Tyler and JC that were doing all the work. Kevin and Josh are really a very good tag team here where Josh is collecting a lot of information. And the key, the thing that Kevin is, or the thing that Josh is able to do that Kevin's not able to do, because Kevin has done well with relationships. He's done a great job manipulating people, great job strategizing. But at the end of the day, he's still Kevin. He doesn't have the social capital, the group level social capital, and just general trustworthiness that Josh does. Josh just has that vibe to him that, like, hey, I'm not playing the game. You can trust me. Nobody in the world is going to look at Kevin and say, you're not playing this game. even when they thought that he was like a social outcast and they were all underestimating him, they still were like, if given the chance, you would absolutely play the crap out of this game. Whereas nobody really sees Josh coming. And so the 1-2 punch of Josh being able to feed Kevin all of the information and work as Kevin's mole while Kevin kind of strategizes, works the difficult manipulation jobs and sort of points Josh in the right direction is very, very effective and has been so far this week. We'll see if it continues to be so. You know, again, the problem, though, is that, you know, Kevin doesn't exactly plan to keep Josh around forever. So we'll see how that goes. But which is just another like thing. It's like it's not like these two are just going to run the table here. Like at some point, Kevin plans to turn. And that's another interesting factor that we need to pay attention to. So, man, interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's also, Josh has like the big bomb that he's planning on dropping last minute about the fact that Herman said that he would come after the showmans after Marty. And so he's planning on dropping that just to make sure to guarantee that Gino and JC Lynn do not want to keep Herman. And I'm just like, no, don't drop that bomb. Please don't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's look at the state of the house here. And I think the best way to do it this week is to look at the two different states of the house, given the two different results for this week. The first result is that if Herman is able to stay and he's able to grab these votes, Summer, Jace, Gino, and Moose, then those five should be pretty solid. Moving forward from there. Now Josh is still the one factor that could get it. Like Josh could still get in with that group and be a bit of a wild card there. But those five would likely be together. They definitely have the leg up there to win power. They would all be targeting Marty next week with Kevin and Helena nominations. If something went wrong with the veto, then Helena or Kevin would maybe leave. Maybe I could definitely see, you know, especially from somebody like Herman, like, it's not worth taking out Kevin or Helena. Maybe now I'd take the swipe at Jace or Gino. I could see that happening with really any of them. But that would be the state of the house, right? It would be those five over there with Josh, Betty's gone, and it's Marty, Kevin, and Helena on the outs. That's not a great place to be. That's the sort of like the visual, how people would perceive the state of the house. The reality would be that Josh would be over with Kevin, Helena, and Marty, and they would still have a somewhat of a chance of getting some power, and they could definitely fight that battle. On the other side of things, if Kevin and his crew over there are successful in taking out Herman, things look very different and still very fluid. You've got Kevin, Josh, and Helena, who are still like the tight core, basically at the center of the house at this point. They have a hold on Marty, who is essentially their weapon, used as a shield. Lots of people still coming for Marty, but they probably wouldn't bother. They would probably take a shot at either the showmans or maybe Moose if they got power, whereas Moose and the showmans and Summer and probably even Betty all going out. Actually, Betty might not, but a lot of them would be going after Marty. And so it would be Marty on one side. It would be the showman slash Moose on the other side in terms of being targeted. And they would move forward from there. So those are the two different like realities that currently exist in, you know, the week, whatever this is, 5-6 box of Big Brother Canada 10. And depending on how this vote plays out, we could see, and then of course, who wins power next week, we could see it go in either direction.
it's definitely, I mean, if I were Gino and JC Lynn, I would think that, you know, the other first option was the better option for them because, like, they're not such an obvious target to people. Like, I understand being like, well, if everybody's going after Marty, then we're going to be good. But it's like, who do you think they're going to put up next to Marty? Like, you're not safe just because everybody's planning on taking out Marty. And I don't even think everybody's planning on taking out Marty, but they're obviously going to say that to get what they want this week. So I just wish that they were just thinking a little bit more about, like, you know, what's happening next week and not thinking about the week after that, because, like, I don't think that they realize that they're in more trouble than they actually are in if they don't keep Herman. I think it's actually really bad for them if they don't keep him.
I agree. Now, I will say again, less so for Jace than Gino. I think for Gino, it is absolutely necessary for Herman to stay. For Jace, I could see her going either way. I think that Jace actually does have some legs in the game with the crash test dummies kind of running things, because they do currently see her as somebody that they could bring far in the game. Even though Jace caught Helena in a bit of a lie or whatever, Helena does genuinely intend to bring Jace as far as she can, whereas Marty, she does plan to cut, which is what you have to be careful of when it comes to, like, testing people. Like, just because they're lying to you doesn't mean that they're actually going to do something that's not in your interests. And there's a very there's a distinction there that you have to be able to recognize. For Jace, there is definitely a line of reasoning where you could say, you know, Herman leaving, not the worst thing for Jace. But you could, you know, her game is so attached to Gino. If they miss the shot at Gino, it could land on Jace. That would also be bad for her. So, I think either way there. Summer is another interesting, person to look at here in terms of what's best for her game. Obviously Herman being here, it could be good for her if he's a number for her, but they have had a rocky history. Herman has sort of, like, ditched Summer in the past and has kind of ditched her again with the indecisiveness. Now, if she hadn't been indecisive, because here's the thing when it comes to Summer, there's what Summer could have done and there's what Summer has now, that she's told both nominees, I am, but I'm not, but I am, but I'm not voting for you. Because she's basically lost the loyalty of both players at this point. And so there's really no winning for her now. But what she could have done is what we can maybe talk about, which is that, you know, maybe she could have garnered the loyalty of Herman, and Herman would have been a good loyal shield for her. Not really that loyal. Herman is not a loyal player, but like, Herman could have been a good shield for her, who would have been doing some dirty work. That would have been nice for her. At the same time, Betty was a very loyal number for her. And that could have worked out well for her in the landscape of the house where, again, the crash test dummies are running things. I do think Summer is in an okay position to maybe make a good run in the end, because the crash test dummies' goal ultimately is to take out all the big players, all the big competitors. And that's a good thing for Summer overall. Whereas Herman's ultimate goal was always to keep all of the big competitors, which kind of leaves Summer in the end game looking not so great. So, again, I could see arguments either way for Summer, but unfortunately for her at this point, she's pissed off both nominees to the point where, you know, I don't even know if it matters anymore.
Yeah, it's not good. I feel like if you're on the fence and you don't know which way you're going to go, like, you don't tell someone, like, I think I might vote you out or whatever. Like, I feel like you say, I don't know where I'm going. I don't want to be, like, the odd person out. Obviously, I want you to stay. And you can say that to either one, because you could be like, look, I do want you to stay, but I want you to both stay, you know, whatever. But, like, you know, she could say, like, obviously, I want you to stay, but, like, I don't want to be the only person who's going to keep you if the house is going another way. So, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't feel comfortable, like, absolutely committing just yet, but obviously I'd like you to stay. Like, that's so easy. And then you can absolutely tell, like, if anybody, like, questions you about it, like, oh, you said you wanted her to stay. It's like, well, yeah, I'd obviously prefer you both to stay. I don't know. I don't want anyone to go home. You know, like that, some stupid line like that. But, like, you can basically, like, deny any of it or say, yeah, I said all this stuff, but it really didn't mean anything. I told you I was thinking about it, and you're not committing one way or the other. You're not telling them you're going to vote them out. You're not, you know, like, I feel like you're basically just saying, like, look, I'm not going to put my life on the line if everybody else is voting against you. And then you use that time to kind of determine where you want to go. It's just like, you know, don't be so committal, I guess, be more non-committal.
Summer. Yeah. The big mistake for Summer is going straight to Betty basically and saying, yeah, I've changed my mind. I'm not sure I'm going to keep you anymore.
Yeah, then, why tell them that?
And then the second she got flipped back, she went back to Hermann and said the same thing.
It's like, don't say it to anybody. You don't have to do that. Why do you say
that? She's realized now she's like, you know what? I'm just not going to tell anybody what I'm doing until right before, which is like, that could have been your line in the first place. But really, the thing that you should do is just say yes to both of them. That's what everybody else does. That's just what you do. You just say, I'm with you. We're good until you're 100% sure where you're going. And then you go, you know how I've said I'm with you? I'm not. Sorry about that. Bye.
And also, though, like, if she did that, that's good, because if I was working with somebody and they're like my number one and we have this, like, we want to get a woman to win, all this stuff, and then be kind of wishy-washy about it, I really wish that she would just was like, I want to be working for you to get the votes. Like, that's what I would want if I was Betty. I'd be like, Summer, like, you were able to, like, get Marty to put or get to Kyle up on the, Kyle to do all the messaging that she's been able to do with Gino getting Kyle up on the block. Is that I wish that she was working for me and getting the votes. And that's what I'd be upset if I was Betty, is that Summer wasn't using all of her social capital to get the votes to keep Betty in the game. And so,
Say, like, I'll talk to people. I'll see what I can do. Like, you just say that. It's very noncommittal. Like, and then, like, then you can go off and talk to people. Like, you don't have to actually promise anything or say that you're going to convince anyone or whatever. Just be like, look, I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to see what I can do. Keep it very, like, it could mean anything.
I'd be pissed if I was Betty and I had a final two with her. With
totally.
Summer. Because it's like, you're not helping me get the votes to stay. And B, you're not sure if you're even going to be with me. Like,
other people are, like, it would be like a split house. It wouldn't be like, oh, well, the whole majority is going against you. I feel like I have to follow them. It's like, there's, you are the vote that could save her, you know, like, you're the vote that could save me. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I asked the audience, who do you want to be evicted this week? Because I feel like this is actually an interesting question. I feel like there are different ways that you can approach this question. There's sort of like, what's best for the gameplay to remain as fluid as possible? What's best to prolong a war between two power players? What's best for, like, who do I just like more, even between Betty and Hermann? Like, I think they both have a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. You know, then there's like, do you like Kevin so much that you would like to see Hermann go so that Kevin succeeds? Or do you not like Kevin and so you want Hermann to stay just so Kevin doesn't have a good grip on the, like, there's so many different, I think, approaches to this question. Ultimately, though, the audience says 60% they would like to see Hermann leave. 40% would like to see Betty leave. Yes. It's pretty close overall. I mean, it's one of the closest ones I think we've seen in a while. But I was a little bit surprised to see the majority is looking at Hermann to leave.
I want them both to stay, obviously. But if I have to pick one, I would probably want Hermann to stay, just because I feel like he is a stronger player than Betty. And I think that he could go against Kevin. As much as I love Kevin, I love to see, like, the, you know, like you said, the idea of two power players, like, duking it out. I'd much prefer to see that than to see Kevin just kind of, like, walk to the end. So, you know, I don't know. As much as I like Betty, as much as interesting, I think, as she is as a player and how much she brings to the table in terms of, like, entertainment value, I think that's something to appreciate for sure. But I just think, like, overall, I think I would prefer Hermann to stay.
Yeah, I think another good point made in the chat here from Reality Bites, which is, you know, there's also the idea of, are you, like, pro or anti-showmans? And I think most people are anti-showmans, and, like, Hermann staying kind of benefits the showman. So there might be some anti-showmans. Like, again, there's so many different motivations behind the choice here.
Mm-hmm, well, I think, though, the reason why I want Hermann to stay is that I'm usually what I find the most interesting is the strategic part and people playing well and people trying to get their own agenda across. And like, you know, so yes, mm-hmm. it would be awesome for Kevin to get his way here. And like, I'm rooting for Kevin. Absolutely. But then am I going to be rooting for anybody? Like, is it just going to be like, okay, so is anybody going to stop Kevin now? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of maybe what I don't want to see happen, even though I do find Betty to be interesting to watch. She is a very cool character that, like, I'm sure is very enjoyable to everybody that's watching the show in the feeds. I just don't know if they're going to bring the element of the game part of it that I really appreciate and enjoy. And I think Hermann staying would offer that to me better.
Yes. Okay. Well, I also asked the audience, who is the best person for Marty to have targeted for his game this week?
Everybody.
Right? Just get them all out. That would have been ideal.
Gino, like, he should have followed through with that so he didn't have to have this narrative anymore.
And that's the thing. Like, this question is just not, it just doesn't, it's not capable of covering really like what Marty should have, because it's like, at what point do we make this call? Is it before he tells Gino that he voted against him? Like, because at that point, no, he shouldn't take out Gino because Gino trusted him implicitly. He said, it's impossible that Marty was the vote against me. But if it's after he claimed, he admitted that he voted for him, then now Gino's like firmly against Marty. So there's just so many different avenues you can take here. But the majority of the audience said that Hermann was the correct target. The 46% of the audience said Hermann was the right call for Marty, with 21% saying that Gino would have been the right call.
I think Gino's the right call.
I mean, again, like once you have admitted to betraying him again.
Right. Like that, you're not coming back from that one.
What are you going to do?
And not,
and then at least he's able to salvage some relationships with the rest of the house, potentially. Like,
and he thinks, but like, he's not really, jury. So
yeah.
Plus, and the so fact, like, that people were interested in getting Gino out during the double eviction. Obviously, it didn't follow through. Like, they didn't follow through. It didn't happen. But like, there was conversation of like, we should maybe get him out. So why not just get him out? Obviously, Gino's going to say whatever you want to hear because you're HOH. He doesn't want to get put on the block. So like, he's going to be like, yeah, no, we're good, whatever. But like, he's never going to trust you again. Like, that's just such a bad move. Like, he really should be targeting
Gino.
And
he could have been sad about it. Like, I mean, he loves playing sad. He could be like, you know, like, it hurts me, but like, I turned against you and I feel bad about it. And I just can't have you in the house anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to take you out now because like, I just don't think you could ever trust me again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like, I mean, I'll say, like, I don't think that Marty's issue this week was in who he targeted, and it's more just like who Marty is, right? Like Marty made a lot of mistakes beyond who he targeted this week. And really, targeting almost anyone is fine for Marty, as long as they're not Kevin and Alina at this point. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do there? I also asked the audience, and I expected this result for the most part, that do you think production made the right call allowing Moose to compete in the HOH after the safety chain, but not allowing Jess to compete in the safety chain? About 80% said no, they made the wrong call. But that did leave still 20% that said it was the right call, which I do pretty firmly disagree with. And I've already sort of stated my case on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I definitely thought, though, at the time, I was like, why can't she play? It's not Arissa clearly states that you will not be playing head of household and you will not be playing veto. You're playing for your safety. And I do think that it's kind of a blip in time where it should have been allowed that Jess was able to play for her for their safety here. So I 100% think that it should have been both or neither.
Yep.
Yes. Well, I asked the audience to rate the safety chain twist, and the audience liked it. They gave the twist a 7.6 out of 10, which is a very good rating for a twist. So the audience is a fan of the safety chain. We've had one run so far. The audience liked it. I still would have preferred, personally, that they interrupt the chain earlier than Final Three. And restart it at like 5 or 6. I think that would have been more interesting. But I do think it played out pretty well. And I think it clearly led to very dramatic television. And we could have seen something somewhat similar to that in a regular double eviction, but I do think it added some element of chaos that these two people just happened to go up on the block rather than it being a plan from the start. It gave people even less time to talk, which is either a good thing or a bad thing. I think in this case, it turned out to be a good thing, even though maybe most people would have preferred to see the flip go through. The fact that it almost did and didn't is more dramatic. So, I think it really worked for the season. So I think it was, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah. It was successful. Okay. In the beginning, I didn't love double evictions, but then, like, you know, you get used to it. Like triple eviction, they need to work on that. And so if they put something like this instead of the triple eviction, I can get behind this as being like a new mechanic in the game. I definitely think it went really well. And it was exciting to watch. And like, I love seeing people having to strategize in the moment. Like, okay, do I want to show my cards? Do I not want to show my cards? Like, and yeah, I think it was definitely a successful twist. So I liked it.
Yeah, I think the only thing I didn't like about it, I guess, was that it did kind of make the double eviction less exciting, I guess, for me. Like, the competitions weren't as stressful because it was like, oh, you're not like, it was like, okay, you're just competing to like get number one in like the safety chain and you're not really like the HOH. So like, well, I don't really care.
That was the thing for me, is that we didn't know how it worked until after the competition.
So
I didn't know how important it was that Moose won that until after he had already won. And when it was like, oh, they go down to three. And I was like, oh, okay. So Moose winning means that all of his allies are safe for sure. As opposed to, I don't know how many people they'll be able to go until an interruption. Like, I didn't know if it was crucial for Moose to win that. So like, I think that if it had been explained properly ahead of time, it would have been more impactful in the competitions to know like exactly what's happening there. So yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah. I just felt like kind of like, okay, I'm just going to kind of watch along, but it wasn't really like as, I don't know. I feel like normally double evictions, my heart is like pounding and I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? Who's going to win it? But it was kind of just like, okay, I'm just watching this competition. Like, I don't really know what's going on, but okay. But overall, I think like the twist itself was pretty good. I think the concept is interesting. I've liked that sort of concept back since like, you know, BBOTT or whatever. Even before then, I think there was one back in like the way early season of Big Brother, where they were like just trying to determine the HOH or something. I don't remember, but anyway, yeah, there's something like that. But yeah,
I think they spun a wheel and then it started off a chain of some sort for head of
Yeah, that's what maybe? I'm remembering
was that,
something
was that BB3?
Like that.
Yeah, it's early.
Yeah, I think so. It was like really early.
The Lisa one?
Lisa and one, then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think overall I like this concept. I just think it's very interesting because it kind of like forces you to either like think about it or like reveal who your like loyalties are with or like, you know, I don't know. It's just an interesting idea.
And it could also be interesting to see how players game for it in the future. You know, like anticipating a safety chain double eviction, having to plan like, okay, so you're going to give me safety, or like maybe that we need to like orchestrate some kind of like, I'll give it to you and you give it to me. Could be annoying, but could be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, because it could be like, especially if you have like a four-person alliance or something with like parachute alliances, like saying like, okay, I'm going to give it to your parachute. So that way your parachute gives it to you and then you can give it to this, you know, like kind of like making sure that everyone gets it without revealing your alliance, like your loyalty to like the four. I don't know. Could be interesting for sure.
Yeah. So I also asked the audience to rate the episodes, the feeds and the season as a whole so far. And they gave the episodes a 7.9.
Wow.
Very good. The feeds a 7.7. And the season as a whole so far up to an 8.2.
Wow. Okay.
That's so high. That's
like the highest it's ever been, isn't it?
It's like very ever? Strange to see these numbers.
Wow. The people are loving it.
Well, I have to say,
we're more than halfway through too. Like we've the majority of this season at this point has been very good.
Wow.
So.
Well, and even their downtime is like entertaining. Sometimes I'm like, oh, do I need to watch this? Are you going to have a conversation? I'm like, no, do you know, I'm actually entertained by their downtime. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's also what makes the feeds, you know, bumps that up a little bit. It's that like, I'm enjoying their like boring, well, it's not even boring, questionings and having little games that they're playing with each other. Would you rather, all that stuff. I enjoy them. They're fun.
Yeah. The competition's got a 7.2 this week, which is up from the 7.0 last week. I actually feel like this was maybe a weaker week of competitions, mostly because I was not the biggest fan of the red light, green light, but I talked about that last night. Just felt like it was a little too athletic and stuff like that. But what are you going to do? Anyway, one more thing to get to here. I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. Can we get a top three and a bottom three?
Oh, shoot. I didn't.
I think Kevin and Kevin and Josh and Betty, or
I don't think Betty's up. I think Josh is up.
Kevin
there.
Kevin and Josh and Summer, maybe.
I can get Summer in there. I can agree with that.
Spot on. Kevin, Josh, Summer, 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Betty was actually tied for fourth place. Yeah, with
wow.
Helena.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Who's the bottom three?
Marty, Jace.
Marty for sure.
And
never liked Jace. And maybe Gino, I don't think has fallen that far. Who else is in there? Moose, maybe?
But I don't know if there's anybody else. Maybe Gino.
People seem not to not like Herman's, but I don't know if he'd be bottom three. Sorry, you're nodding.
Melissa is on track here. Marty at the bottom, Jace just above Marty, and Gino just above.
Wow, Gino.
Okay,
Jace.
Killing it.
There you go.
Okay, normally I'm very wrong, so it's good to know that I understand the people.
So the order here is Kevin on top, followed by Josh, then Summer, then Betty and Helena tied. Exactly tied. That wow. never happens, but they are exactly tied in fourth place, which then goes into Herman, who is just a hair below them, basically also tied for fourth place. And then Moose, just a little bit below Herman. So Betty, Helena, Herman, and Moose are all like right there in within 200 or 2/10 of a point between each other. In for comparison, Summer is a full one full point ahead of all of them. And then Josh and Kevin are also like equally like moving up by basically a point each time. Then you have like a full point drop, a big drop for Gino, then Jace, then Marty. So there's a very clear bottom three and very clear top three. And then all of the middle people are like right in there.
I am surprised that they don't dislike people. Like it's just so, I guess because they haven't had any power really, most of those people in the middle. So like, they don't really know if they like them or not like them. But it would be interesting to see if one of those four people, other than Herman, obviously to win some power, to see if their feelings around, you know, Helena and company is going to change. So. I'd love to see Betty ahead of Hustle. What would that be like?
Oh, God.
Well, I did also ask the audience who they would like to see win HOH. Betty was in fourth place, just below Josh, who was below Summer, and Kevin was the top pick for HOH.
They just want their faves.
Pretty much. It's, yeah.
Pretty
it's
much.
The same order, pretty much. All right. Let's get to the stock watch.
All right.
Let's rate these players. Let's do it here. We'll bring up the visual. We'll talk through what's happening here as we rate the players. This is, of course, the portion of the podcast where we rate each player from 1 to 10, 1 being the worst. They're doing terribly. Couldn't be doing worse. And 10 being the best. They're doing an amazing job. And they are, on track to potentially win the game. We're going to start
the two lowest, got evicted last week. I feel like we've been kind of consistent with like the lowest rated person is like,
yeah, I can try to drop it down here. I mean, obviously, we had Tanisha at a 5 before that she left.
Then that she left, yeah, we figured
we had
it out.
Kyle, and then before that, not too far off with Steph as well. Not bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's start off with Betty. Let's talk about Betty. Betty is on the block. Not great.
And she could go home.
She could go home. This is not a locked in vote as of right now. Could go home on the block. That's definitely a detriment to her rating. I think you also have to penalize Betty for really like getting herself into this mess to a degree. Mm. Not the Expedia thing. I don't blame her for that. But backing out of the vote, very bad move. That was a very bad move. Also, pretending to have a power. Very bad move. Really also put her in this position. Don't love that. However, she did do some decent work with Summer this morning, which could end up holding, and I could upgrade that to good work with Summer this morning. And I think that, you know, her position in the game, if she stays, should be pretty decent moving forward. Who's really going to be looking at Betty after this? Now, I would have said the same thing heading into this week, so you never really know. But I do have to penalize her for backing out of the double eviction. I think that was very bad. And I also have to penalize her for pretending to have a power and getting herself nominated and giving an easy excuse for the veto to be used on Josh instead of her and putting her in the position of now being on the block and potentially going home, which is all very bad. And I think that with all of that, I have to go with a 2 for Betty. It's bad. It's bad for Betty. She's also like, you know, on the block this week talking about how like, it sucks that I might go, but it's fine. You know, if she was on the block against Josh, she was like, I'm going to take the bullet for this one. I'm going to go home. You should stay. You have a better chance of winning. That's all like, this feels bad because I love Betty. This has been a bad week for Betty. I think I have to give her the 2, especially since she could still go home this week. So that's where I'm at. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like this was not great for her. And I think the fact that she could go home is not great. Although I think also she could stay. And I think at this point it does kind of seem like she probably is going to stay. And so I kind of feel like I want to just go down 1 point from my 4 to just a 3 instead of a 2, just considering that she probably will stay. But yeah, it hasn't been a great showing from her. I think the double eviction, especially like that Gino flip presumably would have happened had Betty not kind of like waffled on it and been like, I don't know about this. Like once you go in a room and you just like everyone's sitting there like, let's do this. Like you just have to go through with it. Now it's like some people did it, some people didn't, and it just turns into a mess. Whereas like you're in a room of 5, like you have this chance to get him out. And then if you're the one who pulls out and everyone else is kind of floundering, like they don't know what to do, that's really not great. So yeah, for me, it's a 3.
All right, Chantel, what do you think?
So if it was before this new flip that's happening, I would have probably given Betty the 2 just because it's like, I just was like, okay, she's out of here. Like she's not doing that great of a job of keeping herself in the game. But the fact that it looks now that she will be staying, I'm going to bump it up from the 2 to the 3. I do think it was terrible that she didn't follow through with that particular plan. I think if she had made that move, her whole week would have been completely different. She most likely would not have been on the block. Like they would have had a completely new power dynamic that was happening in the game. She would actually be playing, be like making moves, because her and Josh, it seems like they're the one that started thinking about it and started bringing people in, and people are agreeing and like, okay, let's make this happen. Okay, we're making this happen. And then all of a sudden she doesn't think that Marty's going to be going through with it, so she backs out, and then her side of the couch backs out, and so she completely put those 3 people on that couch with her in a really bad position as well. And so I would be thinking, I wouldn't want to work with Betty on making a plan going forward, because she's easily could just back out and could ruin our games. And so I don't think that it helped her position in the game, helped people trust her very much, but I don't think that she's leaving. So I'm going to agree with Melissa here and give her a 3.
Yeah. And I know Brent in the chat saying that she deserves a 2, which like, I totally like, I can see that.
The correct opinion.
I get that. I get it. But I think that like, because she's likely going to stay, I mean, obviously something's going right. So that's why I feel like the need to give her a 2 or a 3 instead of a 2. But in terms of like, if I was just looking at her own play this week, like maybe not so much. And I think also like part of her logic, it seemed in the room was like, she didn't want to do it. And that's why she was kind of quiet. And they were all like trying to get an answer from her. Like, are we doing this? Like she needed to, if she didn't want to do it, she should have just said like, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't want to do it. Like, just say that, because then otherwise you're not leaving, like otherwise you're leaving room for confusion. And I think if you don't want to do the flip and you don't want to vote it out, say so in the moment rather than wait till everyone's like, we have to go. And we're all walking into the group of people and yes or no, yes or no.
It's that's
like,
a yes.
Just be decisive.
What I saw on the actual show, I was like, oh, I thought it was a little more wishy-washy than it actually was. Like, no, that was a definite, we are doing this, thumbs up, we're voting him out. That's a yes. And so for the fact that she waffled over someone's like, you know, feeling bad about what they're about to do, I think it was a bad read on the situation. And it just doesn't show that she's going to have maybe good reads in the future. But because she's staying, gets a little bit of a 3.
Yeah, for me, the 2 primarily comes from the bad decision, the backing out, and the power, pretending to have a power, really coming back to bite her. I think her position is better than a 2, but I'm penalizing for the decision making. The audience, though, agrees with the 2 of you. The audience also gave Betty a 3
All
out
right.
of 10. So there you go. Melissa, how do you feel about Gino?
I don't feel great about Gino. I was feeling good about Gino last week when I gave him a 6. I thought he was in a good position, but clearly he's not in a good position because he almost left during the double eviction. So that's not good. I really was thinking last week that like people weren't really looking at him. They were kind of like letting him be. And he was like, just kind of floating under the radar. Now I don't think that anymore because he came this close to going home. Not only that, you know, you've got Marty, who he thought was on his side, who betrayed him. And then, you know, it's also possible that he's making this decision this week that's not good for him by keeping Betty and letting her mom go. So I'm not super keen on what Gino's doing and where he is in the game. However, the fact that people still aren't trying to target the showmance, I guess, is a good sign for him. But overall, I'm not feeling super impressed because I thought that he was playing well and like creating this like core group of people who weren't going to try and like vote him out the second that they had the chance to. And then all of a sudden it was like, Marty's on board, Josh is on board, everyone's on board, we're getting him out. And like, that's really not a good place to be in, especially when you're clearly a threat like he is. Yeah, I feel like I honestly, like, that just came so close to him leaving. And I think that he's an easy out soon. So I'm going to go down to a 4.
A 4 from Melissa. Chantel, what do you think?
Well, Gino, he's such a passive player that I can't really, he doesn't do anything in his game. In the beginning, he was in such a good position. We're giving him decently high rankings and he still hasn't done anything. You know, he was trying to suss out who voted for him, but I don't even know if he got the answers from that. And is he going to do anything with that information? Probably not. I think it's good of him that he's able to at least have Marty to like still want to keep him in this game and trying to like, I'll do whatever you do, Marty, or whatever you want, Gino. Like, and he, I don't know if he realized how much power he has with Marty at this point, but he does have that power with Marty. And I think that that's good. He's in the showmance with JC Lynn, which is kind of good because she is capable of winning. Cause like, it would have been bad news if she didn't win and just won instead. Gino would have 100% leaving instead of Lynn at that point. So I think that, you know, he has a little bit of a shield with JC Lynn, but he's not playing well at all. But he's in a better position, I think, than Betty. And I think he's a little bit of a better player than Betty, a little bit, I guess. So I'm just bumping it up. And I agree with Melissa with the 4.
Well, the audience agrees with neither of you.
Wow.
The audience gave Gino a 5.
Oh, 5. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And I disagree with all three slash then thousands of you.
How low are you going, Taryn?
Gino is a three. What is he doing this week? Gino, first of all, again, I am very much factoring in the double eviction. And in the double eviction, Gino was one seat on a couch away from going home in that double eviction. He was saved by the grace of the good looking gods that he managed to survive that double eviction. And he also got saved by that one white ball in Jess's tube, because if not for that, he would have also been gone in that double eviction. Then he lucks out so much that not only did the flip against him fail, but it gets ratted out by Marty, and Marty decides that he needs to sacrifice his own life in the game to make it up to Gino. I mean, this is incredible luck for a player. And what is he doing with that luck? Marty gifted him the HOH on a platter. He said, let me do whatever you want this week. And Gino decided ultimately that he is going to just let Herman go. I mean, when the pitch happens, Gino just goes, sure. And then when Herman's on the block, Herman, a benefit to Gino's game, when Herman is on the block, he's like, oh, I should probably keep Herman now that he's on the block, because he's a benefit to my game. It's like, yeah, you could have stopped him from going on the block, but okay, you're going to save him. Now he's decided, nah, I don't need to save him. That's fine. This guy is not making good decisions in this game. I think if Herman leaves, he is basically the number one target in the house. You know, obviously you've got Marty as a big target as well, which again, very lucky for Gino. But I think that Gino is the backup target for a lot of people. I think that he is a primary target for a lot of people, and he continues to not make good decisions. Here's the thing. Yes, Gino can still win this game. But so could Betty. I'm not saying that Betty can't win the game, just because Betty's a two. Gino could still win the game, but this week was not a good week for Gino. I think it should be a three. I'm the harsh raider this week, I guess.
the Simon Cowell.
Yes, we trade the Simon Cowell hat around.
We really do.
All right, Chantel, tell us about Helena.
Helena. Well, I'm actually enjoying the fact that she's able to work so well with Kevin. I was watching her gameplay in the beginning and I was like, are they really like this unlikely duo? And like now we're seeing that their relationship is building and they are working really well together. She's not lying well, but she knows to lie at least, or she knows to keep her mouth shut in certain situations where she doesn't want to like out, you know, what she did or how she's like, how she voted, all that stuff. Like she's decent at being that rat floater. And so surprisingly, I don't usually like that archetype, but I actually am enjoying Helena and I kind of want to see how well she does and see her get out of messes as well. I don't know if people are necessarily going to target her directly. Like I think if, you know, her and Kevin are up at the same time, I think that they would take out Kevin over Helena. And, you know, she does have that final two with Marty, which Marty's going to keep her in the game. Marty did keep her in the game in that double eviction. And so I feel like she's in an okay spot. JC Lynn and her are kind of talking and figuring things out. She does still have a decent relationship with Betty, especially if she keeps Betty this week. So I think that her rating should stay the same. And I think that a six is still fair for her gaming this week. So I'm still keeping her a six.
There you go. The audience is lower on Helena. They gave Helena a five this week, which I was honestly kind of surprised to see. For myself, it's a little bit of a dichotomy here. Helena did a decent job of helping push the Herman back door. I can't give her full credit, but I can give her partial credit for helping make that happen. Just Helena's relationships, her relationship with Marty, her relationship with Now, the problem is that the one with Jace just recently kind of imploded.
But I think terrible.
And her relationship with Betty has been rough. The relationship with Summer she was working on, and she that's something good that she can sort of hold on to. I think that the thing for me with Helena is that her position is still pretty good. Nobody's really going to be targeting her anytime soon, especially if Hermann leaves. She could be collateral damage if Hermann stays, but she should be pretty good for her position. But in terms of like active game decisions and maneuverings, she keeps making mistakes like what happened with Jace. Losing Jace like that was very bad for Helena. She really needed Jace. And the fact that she's like been exposed to Jace, she's really going to have to either do a lot of damage control or just, or that's not either. Like just she needs to do a lot of damage control there because Jace was a huge benefit to her game, especially with Kevin looking at Jace as somebody that they could take far. Just in terms of like day-to-day play, she's, in my opinion, struggling to keep up at times. And she's the one getting into trouble with the Expedia room. She gets into trouble with Jace. She's getting into trouble. And she's not the one really like calling the shots or pulling the strings right now. However, her position in the game is pretty decent. I think that if she makes it far, which she should, then I do think she has a pretty decent chance of winning this game. And I think that her, her contributions to the crash test dummies and where they're going can't be understated either. She was put in a position where she had to give up a lot of her equity last week, which is why I was only at a 6 for her. This week, I think I have to maintain the 6. I think overall being a part of this group and what they're accomplishing is very good. She did make some mistakes this week. I considered going lower than a 6 just because of that Jace thing, which was, I think was a huge mistake. But I do think that, again, her overall position, her overall gameplay, has been good. I continue to worry about transitioning to any kind of end game that doesn't involve just luckily winning a bunch of end game comps to win the game. As of right now, I think very few people would vote for her to win over almost anybody. Maybe Marty, if she can stick with Marty and have Marty bring her, like maybe then she could win because people really don't like Marty at this point. But man, it's looking kind of rough for Helena in the end game. So I'm going to need to see some kind of shift, I'm going to need her to see her make better decisions. And I'm going to need to see her make some progress for long-term gameplay for myself. Again, I really like Helena. I really enjoy watching her, especially with Kevin when she's able to be a little bit more of herself. I still need to see more from her before I go any higher than the 6. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what both of you guys were saying. I'm going to keep with the 6 as well. I think, you know, there's ups and downs for her this week, but I think overall her position is still good. Her relationship with Kevin and Josh, especially if those three can keep it together, I think they can go really far. So I think, you know, I think she's maintaining that good position that she had before, even though she had some ups and downs throughout the week and throughout the double eviction. So yeah, 6 for me.
All right. Let's move on to Hermann. The audience gave Hermann the same rating as Helena. They gave Hermann a 5,
wow,
which is interesting. Now, this is obviously a tough one, right? Hermann is a very good player. He did a great job last night. If we were doing the ratings last night,
yeah,
I would be a lot higher on Hermann. I think that Hermann is a better player than the Stockwatch ratings pretty much all season, I think, will give him credit for. He is a very good player who has been constantly put in a state of adversity. Because of that, the ratings have been reflective of the fact that he's been in a lot of danger for the last few weeks. He very nearly went home on Jess's HOH, but he won that veto. He almost managed to survive this week, and he almost went home the week before too when Gino won, but he managed to get in with Gino first. There's a lot of good stuff about Herman's game, but it is looking like he is the more likely person that will be evicted this week. Now, there are some mistakes we can point out. Going to Kevin, trying to convince him to not use the veto, being a bit overconfident, feeling like Summer would go up even if something did happen instead of himself. In general, what he's doing now, feeling like Summer is too wishy-washy, focusing on Josh, another mistake. These are minor mistakes, though. I don't think these are reasons that he's leaving. Ultimately, he's been playing a pretty good game. He just has not been able to keep up with the pace of this house, given the style of game he's trying to play. And because of that, he's in a lot of danger. It's looking like he is decently likely to go home. I think that overall, it's tough. I think I have to go with a 4 for Herman, which might, if you're just looking at the numbers, I'm sure there are a bunch of people. Unbelievable. Can't believe Taryn would give Herman a higher rating than Betty and Gino when he's leaving the game, which is very like, look, I hear that. I definitely hear that. But I do think that Herman has still a decent chance of staying. And if this is the week that Herman survives a backdoor, which he very nearly did just last night, I feel like I have to account for that possibility in this rating. And if he does, then that's an incredible week of Big Brother. So I have to incorporate that. I think he did a great job last night. I do think I'm not going to count him out completely yet. And so for those reasons, I am going to give him a 4. I think he has played this week pretty well. But there's not much more we can do about that. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Well, if they're going to come for you, they're going to have to come for me too, because I'm giving him a 4 as well. And I don't even want to give him a 4. I want to give him higher than a 4 because I love Herman. And I think that he's a really, really strong player. I think he's really good. I think that, you know, just like Juno has been catching all the breaks in the house, Herman has been catching no breaks in the house. And I think that, you know, especially with the whole Kyle situation, I think that that just really tanked his game and he's been trying to recover ever since. And I think if anybody can pull off this flip, I do think Herman can pull it off. It just comes down to, will it happen? Can he do it? I don't know. And we'll just have to see. But I just think that, like, overall, I don't feel justified giving him a lower score than this because I think that he's not there because of his own doing. I think that he is just a threat and he's a good player and people notice that. And that's why he's on the block and that's why he's probably going home. And, you know, I think that he is a good player. And so I'm taking that into account as well. And I feel like you're right, Taryn, in that I don't think his ratings this whole season have been really reflective of like how I think he is as a player himself. I think it's just been like the circumstances. And so that's why he gets a 4 from me.
Yeah. And to the people that don't understand the ratings, they are not just on positioning. Like, just because Herman is more likely to leave this week than Betty does not mean that Herman always, always has to have a lower rating than Betty. We are also rating the players on the decisions that they're making in the game, whether we agree with them or not, whether we think they were good decisions or not. Mm-hmm. In a week where I think Betty messed up multiple times in big ways and Herman is on the other end of the best player in the game trying to take his third shot at him, I think that Herman has been playing a better game this week. Mm-hmm. Even though it's looking like he might be on the losing end of it, he has put up a very admirable fight. And, you know, that's why it's a higher rating for me. But Chantel.
If that's the way it was, then every week that we knew someone was going home, they'd get a 1. Like, I just feel like it's like, that's not the way that this works. It's based on like if they're putting up a really good fight to try and stay and they're making a bunch of great arguments and they're doing a bunch of things and like they're doing the best that they can. And yet like, well, if people are going to vote them out anyway, that doesn't automatically make them a 1. Like a 1 is like you're being a terrible player. You're not doing what's best for your game. Like you're making so many mistakes. Like, you're dead in the water, essentially. Whereas, like, if you actually are actively trying, you're making good arguments, but it's just falling on deaf ears. Like, that's not necessarily a 1, even if you're going home. Like, that's just like not how the ratings work.
Yeah, and if Hermann receives a lower rating than Betty, there will be an equal amount of people on the other side being like, how is Hermann a worse player than Betty? That's ridiculous, right? Like,
we're never going to make anybody
there's no
happy.
Winning. There's no winning.
Everyone's just going to be mad at us either way, so whatever.
Well, for
Chantel,
me,
what are
like,
your thoughts?
I want to give him a really high score because, like, I appreciate people trying to stay in the game. Like, yes, we know that Betty is most likely going to stay, but it's not for the fact that she's really done that much to ensure that she's going to be staying in the game. Other people have made decisions about their game and decided that she would be a better person to keep for their game and that Hermann is going to be better to leave for their game. And so I wish that, you know, I could give a ranking on who's playing harder and trying harder. And like, I'd love to give him like a 7, 8, 9, or 10, you know, because he actually is somebody that mm-hmm. wants to be there and he's strategizing and he's doing all that he can. He just doesn't realize, he doesn't see all the pieces and he doesn't see everything that's going on in the actual, the full, you know, bird's eye view of the game. So I'm with you guys. I wanted to actually give him a 5, but like I realized that it's obviously way too high for somebody that is going home. So I had to bring it down a notch, but I can't give him lower than a 4. So I'm with you guys. I think that he is worthy of a 4 here. I don't think that he's dead in the water. I do think that if he kind of gets wind that, like, you know, Josh isn't really on his side, that he's kind of feeding information to Kevin. Like, if he gets some hint of that, he might be able to pivot and shift the narrative and come up with something that we might not even have seen before. Like, if he realizes it's Kevin that's really spearheading his demise, like, maybe he can go to Kevin and maybe he can forge something and be like, hey, I don't want to go after each other. I don't want you to take me out. I don't want to take you out. Let's work together. Maybe he could do something like that. Who knows? So I still think that there's a possibility that he could save his game, even though it doesn't look good right now. And for that, that's why I have to give him higher than Betty, because I just don't think that Betty would be able to perform as well as Hermann does under the circumstances that Hermann has been under.
Yeah. And I mean, again, this is a week where Betty literally said, I will quit the game for you, Josh. Like, that was her plan until the veto was used. Like, what are we talking about here? Anyway, let's move on to Jace. Let's talk about Jace. Man, Jace is a player that continues to have moments of like, oh, that's pretty good. And then moments of like, what are you doing? It's very back and forth here with Jace. I think the biggest thing for Jace this week is that we've gotten some information that Kevin and Helena are considering taking Jace to the end, or at least pretty deep. And I think that's very big news for Jace, especially if Kevin, Helena, and Josh end up on top this week, that they are going to have a lot of influence moving forward. And that means that Jace is going to have a great chance to win some endgame competitions and potentially make a run. That's big news for Jace's long-term game. Short-term game, she continues to do things that confuse me at times. I think she is way too willing to just let Gino run the game for them. But she does occasionally have some good ideas. But they're not always aimed toward like her own personal benefit. They're aimed toward like either the showman's collectively or for Gino's benefit, which again, it's like, well, if you have good ideas, but you're not aiming them in the right direction, then how good are they? So it's very back and forth here with Jace. I think that she is in an okay spot if, Hermann leaves. And I think she's in an okay spot if Hermann stays. I think overall she should be okay moving forward. And she hasn't done anything too egregious. I love that she won another competition. I think that's not only good for her resume, but it's good for the, you know, the faith that I would have in her to win more competitions in the future. So, I think this has been an okay week overall for Jace, and, I'm going to give her a 5. That's where I stand on Jace. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree. I think that she, yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's like, I want to just be like, whatever. Like, no, I'm just sticking with my 4 because I don't care. But like, I do think that the fact that people want to bring her along and the fact that you won that competition and the fact that even if people are going to put, like, even if they decide to put the showmance on the block, they're probably not going to go after her. And instead they would go after Gina. Like, that's good for her. People don't really seem to be talking even about getting rid of her. So, like, I feel like that's good. She's been talking to people this week, which is good for her as well. But I just feel like there's not anything, like, there in terms of, like, her strategy. Like, I don't really know what she's trying to do. Like, I don't know what her game plan is, aside from just, like, being with Gino. I don't know. And so I just wish that I could have, you know, and obviously, like, it's not that she's doing absolutely nothing. Yeah, she's talking to people, whatever. But, like, I just don't know where she's planning on going with all of this is, like, my concern is, like, what's her end game? Like, who does she want to take the end? I just feel like I'm not seeing enough from her in terms of, like, strategic mindset to really feel comfortable giving her anything higher than this. But I think because of her positioning, I have to give her a 5.
Yeah. And I think also, something that was happening, I think right around the time we started this podcast is that, Summer is saying, like, I think Jace would cut Gino for me in the finals. Like, you know, that's good work from Jace. Like, Jace doesn't like Summer. Jace doesn't like Betty, but both of those women, don't realize it, to the extent that they should, which is, you know, good on Jace. And not good on Jace on a personal level, but on a strategic level, good on Jace. Chantal, what are your thoughts?
Well, I came in here thinking that Jace is like, she's like a 4. She's not really doing that much, but you both have really kind of convinced me that she's, you know, doing a little bit more than I'm giving her credit for with the 4. So I'm going to bump it up, and I'm going to agree with both of you with the 5. I didn't really take into account of her second comp win, which I think is really good. It shows that she is capable of winning under pressure. So it's all veto type competition. She's capable of winning. And I just feel that it allows her to save herself. And I think that she could, like you said, Taryn, save herself in the future. And so I'm going to give her a 5. I do think that you guys kind of like showed me a little bit more of like what she's doing in the game. The fact that people are wanting to take her further is really great. The fact that she would most likely stay if she was up against her showmans. If Gino went home, it would be really good for her game, I think. And so the fact that she is in a better position than Gino, she was the driving factor also in maybe flipping the boat with her mom, with her conversations that she had with some people. And that's better for her game, not necessarily better for Gino's game. So it does show that maybe she's going to do a little bit for her game. And so, yeah, she's a little bit higher than Gino. So 5.
All right. The audience thinks she's a 4. Not quite as high on Jace. So there you go. Let's talk about Josh. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Josh?
I mean, this is kind of a weird one for me because it's like he was just on the block. Like, he was just nominated. He just was in that bad situation with Marty. Like, not great for him. But I honestly feel pretty good about Josh still. Like, I think that his relationship with Kevin is huge. I think that it's really, you know, great for him. And I think also the fact that someone like Herman is like counting Josh as a number, like everyone consistently week after week is like, Josh is with me. I'm working with Josh. Like, everyone likes Josh. They want to keep him around. They want to work with him. Like, I just feel like he's not really doing that much until he kind of paired up with Kevin. And now I kind of see him like actually doing stuff. I honestly think he's doing pretty well. I think this like stack of cards that he's building up could come crumbling down when people start to realize, oh, maybe he isn't with me. Maybe he is just with Kevin. Like, I don't know. But overall I am pretty impressed with him. And so I think because of his relationships with people and because of the way people perceive him, I think, and also because of who he actually is in relationships with, which is basically Kevin and Helena. I think I'm going to stick with my 7.
All right. Chantal, what do you think?
I, you know, as much as I want to keep Hermann in the game. I'm really enjoying seeing Josh kind of light up in like playing this game. There was at one point, I don't know if it was this week or last week, when Kevin told Josh to play up to Marty that he's chokes in competition, and he had that idea and his eyes lit up. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And so I love that he's actually having fun playing the game. And I love the fact that he's making all these connections with people. Nobody really wants to really target him. Like, obviously Kevin knows that he has to get rid of him pretty soon, but other than that, everybody still likes him a lot and wants to work with him, bringing him on different, you know, alliances and, you know, final twos, all that stuff. And so I love the seven. I'm thinking seven, and I'm kind of debating to go higher for him because I think that he's actually playing really well. I think I'm going to do it. I think I want to reward Josh with the fact that he's starting to really play and give him the eight. I think I want to give that to him.
All right. Well, the audience is with Melissa. The audience gave Josh a seven. And I am torn. I think that Josh put in a lot of really good work for this week. I think that between nearly making that flip happen, getting away from the flip and the double eviction with very little blame overall comparatively, to somehow, you know, the fact that Betty is the one that gets the blame for masterminding a flip on Gino is ridiculous. And he has Betty in the game, again, willing to throw her own life in the game away for the sake of Josh. Like, that's very good for Josh. In addition to that, Josh is, you know, when I went through the week, Josh is continually the thing preventing things from happening that go in a different direction. Now, the problem is, as always, that that Kevin and Helena don't plan to stay loyal to Josh forever. And so even though he's very effective this week, is it a bad thing that he's being very effective this week? He holds a lot more value if Hermann stays in the game because they need him to help with Hermann. Now, the problem of course, is that Hermann is a huge threat to win this game, and taking Hermann out could be a very good thing for Josh. Now, Josh continues to get like second place in these competitions. I think that's a very good thing for Josh. The fact that people aren't worried about him as a comp threat is, I think, a huge mistake and a very good thing for Josh. Mm-hmm. I think that Josh could easily go on a comp run to clean out the season if they don't take him out soon enough. And I don't know that they will. There are still plenty of targets ahead of Josh in my eyes for Kevin and Helena. They're looking at the showmans. They're looking at Moose. So that means Gino and Moose. Do they take a shot at Marty before Josh? I would assume so. You know, like, Marty's very good at competitions too. Maybe a little bit more likely to lose to them in the finals, but you know, when do they actually turn on Josh? It's not soon enough for me to like factor it in largely here. And I think that getting Hermann out is not too bad for his game. So I'm also going to go up to an eight for Josh. I really do. I think that he put in some very impressive work this week. I think the work he's putting in to save Betty as well has been very impressive so far. And I think that he is in a very good spot moving forward with a new potential final four with Jason Gino. He's got, with Hermann gone, I think he's got Moose, locked up, where, you know, who else does Summer turn to as well? I think he's going to be in a very vital position on that side of the house, especially if they then target the showmans next. He's in a very powerful position, and, you know, things could get very interesting from there. So, I think overall it's a good play. And I think that Josh has done a very good job. So there it is, an eight for Josh.
And I can also see, like, you know, we think that Kevin might win the war against Josh eventually and take him out. But maybe with taking out Hermann, like, Josh is going to be the person that wins some of these comps. And so maybe he won't be able to catch him. Or maybe he'll go evil and go against his, you know, the apprentice learns from his master and he turns on him. Like, maybe that's the scenario that's going to happen later down in the line. So I'm not even going to set, like, point that or give him credit for the fact that he might see what's coming and be able to be a worthy opponent to Kevin. So I'm hoping for that battle too.
Mm. All right. Well, let's move on to Kevin. Chantel, what are your thoughts on Kevin?
You know, I love Kevin. I think that he also got out. He was the thumbs up guy. He was saying, like, thumbs up. Are we doing that? Are we doing this? He was visibly upset on the couch, kind of exasperated sigh when, like, you know, the plan wasn't going through. He was in a pretty sticky situation and nobody's talking about any of this. Like, he doesn't
just go ahead. Really quick to clarify, during that moment when he. So he gives the thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever, like, we're doing this. And then when they're all confronting everyone about it, they're like, someone was doing thumbs up, thumbs down. Like, it was very clearly Kevin. Was everyone just, like, purposely not revealing that? Or did they all just actually forget who did thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'm not sure.
Marty forgot.
I'm sure Kevin remembered, but I don't know about the rest.
I'm sure other people forgot as well. You know, maybe Josh remembered, maybe Helena remembered, but they weren't going to say. I think if Betty had remembered, she would have outed Kevin, but I don't think she remembered. And I think that if Marty had remembered, he would have outed Kevin, but I don't think he did.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I just had to ask about that. Okay. It was very clear to me that he did it. And then, like, everyone's like, well, someone had thumbs up, thumbs down. And everyone's like, I don't remember who. It's like, it was very clear that it was Kevin. But I guess they all just forgot somehow. I don't know. Anyway, continue.
So I thought he was going to be in, like, a stickier situation than he is in. But it seems as though he's still able to have such huge influence on Marty. And the fact that he's just shimmered everybody. Nobody really sees what he's doing. Obviously, Herman kind of has him on his sights. And so it's really good for him to be getting Herman out, his target. And so the fact that he's able to, he won a competition this week, which is also pretty impressive. We weren't sure if he was going to be playing the role of, like, you know, kind of Dr. Will style, like, not winning anything. But so he's won some power now. He's able to use this power to get his target out of the game without really having any sort of blowback. I'm liking his game. I think he's kind of controlling the whole house. And so I'm going to go with a 9 for Kevin. So same as last week for most of you, but I think that he's still at a 9, a 9 player in my books. So 9 for Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Well, the audience is still at an 8. For Kevin. They have not moved up to a 9. For me, I have been very torn on Kevin. I really feel like, I think a heavy consideration for a 10 for Kevin this week. I think that he's played the week very well. I mean, from start to finish, from finishing the orchestration of the 5-4 split vote to nearly getting a flip, I would not credit Kevin for this. In fact, this is actually one of the negatives for his game. The flip didn't go through, but he nearly got, Gino nearly left. He nearly was able to protect, Jess. You then have, just this, because of all of that nonsense that happened, which wasn't really Kevin's fault, he gets out of it scot-free. He's clean from all of that stuff. He then has a problem with Marty. Marty's going to be a wild card, and he is going to, you know, go after his ally Josh, and one of the numbers that he's working on, Betty. Terrible for Kevin. He's able to win the veto and turn it around, convince Marty to put Herman on the block. Huge. He's so far been able to combat Herman's campaigning. I think that people will potentially look back at this season and think of Herman as not as good of a player as he actually is, primarily because Kevin has been there at every corner, putting a stop to anything that Herman has been trying to do. I think that's all fantastic. If Kevin gets his way, his game looks very good moving forward. That gameplay is all 10 worthy in my eyes. It's top tier gameplay. However, there are a few things holding me back from the 10. One is that he did lose Jess And that was mm-hmm. rough for his game. That was not a good thing for his game. Again, nothing to do with like his gameplay that week, but in terms of things that happened to him, that was a very bad thing. Losing Jess was not great. In addition to that, Hermann has made progress. He had the votes just last night. Lest we forget that he was about to stay and Kevin's game was about to look much, much worse. Now things have turned around for now. You cannot take that for granted, though, that things could turn back around. That's another thing, I think, potentially holding Kevin back. And then a third and final thing I think that will prevent me from giving the 10 is that despite the fact that Kevin is doing a very good job right now, I still am concerned for his end game. He does not have a setup locked in end game like a Hermann would if Hermann was running the show right now. How does Kevin get to the final two and win right now? He doesn't have enough respect from other players in the game right now to win against a lot of people. I think that can change for sure, but it is a problem for him right now. In addition to that, just again, getting there. Once he does have the respect, can he be sure that he will be taken there? Who will take him there apart from hopefully Helena, but I don't even think that's a guarantee and she would have to win. He needs to bring people that he can probably beat in those final competitions. But if they're very even, then he can't lock that in. And there aren't a lot of people in the game that are very easy to beat at this time. The problem with Kevin's style of game, while it's super impressive to watch, and it is very, tons of respect for him for being able to pull it off so far. The end game is what sets apart, the Kevins right now from the Dan Gieslings, who is able to turn this kind of game and shift it into a Derek game where he's locked in to go to the final two and win the game. Kevin is not there yet. And until he is there, it's hard to go all the way to the top. I nearly did anyway, just because of what he did this week. It was so impressive, but there were too many things I think that happened to Kevin this week that were not great that I couldn't quite go to the 10. So for me, it's a 9 again for Kevin. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. Kevin is consistently impressing me. I think something that is making me think, making me go between an 8 and a 9 this week is just the fact that people are starting to look at Kevin now. They're starting to sense that as much as he's kind of stayed under the radar for this whole like double eviction debacle, in the room thing. I do think people are starting to look at him. They're starting to talk. He might be a target coming up soon. We don't know. So the fact that people are looking at him at this point is a little concerning. I don't think it's a full blown problem yet, but I do think that that's worse than it was last week when I really didn't think anyone was looking at him. However, like you said, a lot of really good gameplay from Kevin this week. And I just feel consistently impressed by him. We will see if his target gets out this week or if Ramon is able to stay. But, either way, I do think that he's playing so well. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with my 9, but like I'm a little concerned right now. Just I don't want people looking at him so much.
There you go. All right. Let's move on to Marty. The audience gave Marty the lowest rating of the week. They gave Marty a 3. It was a lower 3 than the Betty 3. A 3 for Marty. Man, let me tell you, if I hadn't already given Kyle a 1 on his HOH week, I would be very tempted to give Marty a 1 on this HOH week. And I still could, but it's not as bad as Kyle's. And for that reason, I don't think I can, but just an awful HOH reign for Marty.
How are all the HOHs this season just like consistently doing
so
terrible?
Bad?
I don't
so
know
bad.
What's going on.
I don't think I need to spend a lot of time explaining why. We've been talking about it. We've talked about it. I think that not only did Marty make terrible strategic decisions for his game, I think his chances to win in the final two went from well, if he somehow manages to get there, they'd respect it, to, I don't think this guy can win now. I don't think that they're voting for him. I think there are a lot of people that would decide, no, I don't want to. He's unstable. For that reason, he's getting a two. He's very lucky he's not getting a one from me. That's all I have to say about that. Melissa, what do you think?
True for me as well. This has been a very like unhinged week, in more ways than one. He like, I mean, this whole idea of like, I'm going to get revenge and I'm going to do everything you want, Gino, is just like not the way to handle it. Like we talked about earlier, like Gino should be his target just because, you know, that was all real bad for him during the double eviction. Like just get Gino out of there, because at this point, Gino's not going to trust you. Like even if you sit there and like grovel to him and say you're running my HOH or whatever, like it's not going to help. So I just feel like get Gino out of the picture. Like you had a bad situation happen during the double eviction, but like the whole like revenge thing, it's too much. It just is not good for his game. So yeah, two for me.
So Marty is he's just enjoyable to watch at this point. And it's, you know, I don't think that they'll show some of the things that he's done with like that weird argument with Summer and like, you know, just like, he's just, I don't enjoy his head of household reign because it's, I don't know what it is that he's doing specifically or about him, but I just can't give him a really high score at all. I don't want to give him the one because I agree with you, Tara, that it wasn't as bad as Kyle's, but he's really hasn't done anything to better his chances in the game if anything, everybody is against him or wants him out and they're kind of grouping together to want to get him out of the game. I also think it's really terrible. They don't know it, but right now Herman most likely is going to be the first juror. And if Herman has like a bad taste in his mouth about somebody, I'm sure that every single person is going to have his influence on the winner of this game. And I think that that's also really awful for Marty to be able to have a shot at winning the game if he's tainted the first juror. So I don't really see a world or a person that he could sit beside or a way that he could turn his game around at all, knowing who he is or what we know of him so far. So I agree with both of you. I think that highest I can go is a two. It's the highest.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on then to Moose. So it's,
where's Moose?
Where's Moose in the ratings? Moose is kind of a tricky one. If Herman stays, Moose is in a considerably better position. If Herman leaves, he's not in a great position. He's already been named as a potential target heading into next week. I don't think that most people would target Moose. I think that even Kevin, who has mentioned Moose, would still probably be looking in other directions. Moose did, again, perform pretty well in the, in a couple of these competitions. I think that's all very good. He won that, safety chain. I think that was a key win there. Moose is a player I think that would absolutely do very well in a final two right now in terms of just general respect for his game and his competition ability. But he's not really set up to get there right now. He's, maybe a little bit safe, but he's definitely not one of the safer people in the house. And he has not been able to work and build things in the way that Herman has been doing things. Once Herman leaves, it's really gonna, like, that's it for Moose. He's got no more runway left to him. He needs to take off or he'll be taken out. And so, you know, the question is like, how much faith do I have in Moose moving forward? I think that, if Moose can survive the next like volley being taken, I think that he's sneakily got more of a chance than you might think. I think that, if the shot gets taken at Gino and then, you know, now we have to do like who, where, when are we going to take the shot at Josh? When are we going to take the shot at Marty? Is Moose really worth taking out first when we have bigger threats to deal with? I think Moose is potentially seen as somebody that's malleable, and also I think potentially valuable to other people. So Even though I think people are mad at him right now because they feel like he hurt Hermann's chances of sticking around, I still feel okay about Moose. I'm going to give Moose a 5 overall. But Melissa, where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my 4, I think. I just think that, like you said, he's not really in a good spot. He doesn't really have any allies that are really, really working with him, especially after Hermann leaves. I'm very nervous for him. And the fact, honestly, that like he proposed this like final 5 or whatever, and that's why, that's part of the reason why the flip isn't working is like, oh, we don't want that. I just feel like it's not a good sign. I don't know. I just think that people don't really trust him. And I feel like that's going to really hurt him in terms of trying to find a team, a group, anybody, like, especially after Hermann leaves. I don't know where he goes from here. And really, honestly, the only reason I'm giving him a 4 and not a 3 at this point is because we don't know if Hermann's going to leave or not. So I'm just going to kind of wait and see. It's a wait and see sort of situation. So, yeah.
All right, Chantel.
Well, Moose is a hard one because, like, he's definitely not doing that much for his game. And then what we've seen him do this week, I mean, yes, I think it was awesome that he won the start of that chain. So I'm going to give him credit for the fact that he is capable of winning competitions, which is important in this particular game. And so I do have faith that he is somebody that could potentially win competitions later on. But he doesn't seem to have any strong allies or people that want to keep him here. A lot of people would be willing to, okay, we'll just put him up against Moose, and like, so if Moose goes home, it doesn't matter. Like, nobody really cares for him being there except for Hermann at this point. And so losing Hermann would be really bad to his game. And the fact that he was part of that, like, you know, he pitching that final 5 didn't help Hermann and his game. It actually worsened. It makes me worried for him, for his, you know, strategy or things that he might propose to other people moving forward. So I can't go as high as you, Taryn, with the 5. But I think I can settle with a 4 with Melissa. So 4 for Moose.
There you go. Well, I'm not super used to this happening, but the audience is on my side with Moose.
Wow. That's wild.
The audience gave Moose a 5.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
There you go. All right. Fine. Let's finally talk about summer. Melissa, what are your thoughts on summer?
Oh, I don't know. This is a hard one. I really don't know. I feel like up until the point where summer kind of like ruined her chances of having an alliance with either of the nominees or having any sort of working relationship, I just feel like she put herself in a bad spot with them. I just think that even if either of them stay, they don't really want to work with her, which isn't good. And I just think she was being too open and honest in terms of like what she's planning on doing. I honestly, I don't know. Last week I gave her a 7. I don't feel horrible about her game, let me just say. But I'm certainly worried about her. And I also feel like it's like, I don't really know where she's coming from at this point. I don't know who she is working with really. Cause it's like, she was just telling everyone like, oh, I don't trust Hermann. Let's get Hermann on the block. And then she's like, actually, like, I want to keep Hermann. And now she's like, oh, actually I don't want to keep Hermann. And I just feel like, I don't know where her head is at right now. I just think that whole thing with the nominees and telling them she wasn't sure she was going to keep and flip flopping back and forth is just not good for her. And it's going to make people wary of her. I think honestly I have to go down to a 5.
5 from Melissa. Ouch. Chantel, what do you think?
Summer's really fun to watch. I don't like for her game that Winter came out, but I think it's obviously entertaining that, you know, she's willing to, you know, lash out at Marty or whatever happened that we didn't really get to see the whole thing. But I don't think that that's great for her game that she wasn't able to control her emotions and that, you know, she losing that relationship that she had with Marty. I know she still thinks that she has a decent relationship with them and people don't understand the relationship she has with Marty, but I don't think that that was good for her game. And so it kind of shows that she can react emotionally and then want to apologize for it after, which I don't think is great. She also mentions a lot that she's really good socially with a lot of people, which I'm like, Summer, stop pointing that out, because eventually that's going to be a reason for people to target you. So, you know, keep it quiet there in that regard. Now, with the two nominees that she kind of didn't make them feel good about her in the game moving forward, I think that they will both forgive her if they keep, if when she keeps one of them. And so I think that she'll be able to bounce back to having a decent social position with either Betty or Hermann, depending on who stays. So I'm going to stick with a 6 for Summer. I think that she is still decently placed. I don't think that people are necessarily targeting her. They don't really feel threatened by her. I do think that she's due for a win. Like, I just don't think she's going to just not win a comp for the whole season. Like, I do think that there'll be something that's in her wheelhouse that she'll be able to at least win some power and make some moves in this game. So I think that Summer deserves a 6. I think that she has potential still to win this game. I think that she, hopefully, if Hermann leaves, like, maybe she'll start realizing, like, oh, I should start strategizing. Maybe it'll be a kick in her butt to, like, start doing more. And so, yeah, 6.
All right. Well, the audience is at a 5.
5
for Summer.
Down on
5
Summer.
For Summer. Down from the 6 last week from the audience. And I have to agree I think this was not a great week for Summer. Now, I do think there were a couple of things that I liked. One is that, well, so first of all, in this week, she lost, she was losing Tanisha last week. She lost Tanisha in this week.
True.
But she did survive the safety chain round and did not receive any blowback from, you know, picking Kevin. She's been working on rebuilding with Helena. She's been, you know, continuing to talk with Kevin. Nobody's really looking at targeting Summer anytime soon still. So she's good there. She still hasn't won anything, which I don't like. But she also, just cold read, Helena, that she was the vote. Great read from Summer there. You know, those instincts, those, like, she still has the social instincts and the reads that I think are, you know, why we really liked her game at one point in the season. I think she can, as you said, Chantel, come back from the mistake she made here, but I do have to also factor in just, what are you doing? Why do you need to tell them that you're going back and forth? That is just, that is amateur hour. Come on, Summer, you should know better than that. So big error there. But in terms of her position, I really do think that she's okay. I think that there's granted, I genuinely thought Josh was the least likely person to be in trouble or touch the block heading into this week. And he's the target initially. So take this with a massive grain of salt that, not only could I be wrong, but I could also just, like, things could just completely change from here. But I do think she's one of the safer people still heading into the, you know, following weeks. And I also think she is, I think ultimately making the right call to keep Betty around. Even though Betty's mad at her right now, I do think that Betty will come back around. She won't forget, but who else does she have to turn to, really? Is she really going to work with the showmance? Is she really going to trust the showmance? And if she ever finds out that Josh is snaking her, like, she's really got nobody. I think that's okay. I think she's okay there. But, I mean, overall, definitely big hit to her position. The fact that she hasn't won enough competitions yet is definitely a detriment, and she has lost most of her power base. So it's not looking great for Summer, but it's also not looking completely dire yet. And I do have to punish her for just what are you doing with this nominee? So overall, it's a 5 from me. There you go.
You're right.
That's the stock watch this week.
Ooh, Summer fell a lot. Jeez.
From a 7 to a 5. Well, granted, I had her at a 6 last week. So Hermann, a slightly lower fall from me. And yes, Hermann is going to fall. Marty's going to fall.
Mess.
I don't know if anyone has Marty stock anyway.
All right. So we have an updated leaderboard to look through here before we wrap up. Kelly still on top, number one. Now not tied for number one, just straight up number one, followed by John in second place. Kelly went all in on Kevin. John went all in on Josh. They both made a lot of money, but Kevin made a bit more. So that is going to be the difference between the two of them there. What if we're here in third place with a Josh pick as well. So top three looking pretty strong here. Let's see what, Melissa did.
Oh boy, I forgot to do anything.
I didn't do anything.
I forgot again.
But, you know, I still I'm still number one, Melissa.
Forgetting again worked out because you had a bunch of Kevin shares and some Helena shares. I think Helena also made some money this week. So I think you did pretty well here. Still the best, Melissa.
Like 2 weeks since I've done anything.
Top 25%. You did move down a little bit, but you did make some money.
Well, you know, I need to. I went on the site, but I was like, I was just a little too late. Like I went on it.
Unfortunately, we had to close the market a little early because of spoilers.
Is that what it was?
So anticipate that to be the case moving forward from now on.
I went on like before the episode, and I was like, I've got this. All right, let's change this up. And it was like, sorry, the market's closed. And I was like,
oh,
just missed it.
What are you going to do?
Just missed it.
So yes, anticipate the 4 p.m. Eastern is likely when we will be shutting the market down from now on, as spoilers are likely to be coming out here. Here I am, top 50%.
Wow, lower than me, though.
Still lower than Melissa, but I did go in on Josh this week, so I am hopefully crawling my way up. Look at that, up 300 places.
Okay, wow. That's pretty good.
Not terrible. Chantel, did you do anything?
I don't think you really want to see. So before Gino won the head of household, I was like, okay, let me buy JC Lynn cheap and like see like, you know, maybe something will happen. Like I had some faith in her, maybe winning something and getting some power. And then I just never move that by. So I'm probably at like $200.
Sunk
still.
Cost it all the way through. Yes. 68 God. Shares of Jace.
In the beginning. Oh, I just
for Chantel.
And a little bit of Betty, it looks like.
A little bit of Betty.
I had like $1 left over.
You made a little bit of money. You moved up a little bit this week. last week wasn't a good week. The week before that, it was devastating.
Bad. It was so bad. I was like, oh my God, Gino's the head of household and you're going to go down? Like, are you kidding me? I thought it was going to be so good. When he won, I was like, okay, yes, I'm going to make some money here. Maybe not a lot, but a little. And nope. So I haven't moved my JC Lynch socks at all. I'm thinking like, maybe I'll just keep it there and see if maybe in the end she's the winner. And I'm just going to go all in on JC Lynch right now. I'm just going to ride her to the end.
There I feel like go. That's how you can make like, I mean, like if it works out for you, you would win, right? Like if you picked the winner, like starting, I mean, I don't know.
Anything. Well, no, because I would be losing money. So it won't be compounding at all. So
you gotta go in at the right time. When are they peaking?
Yeah. I'm going to stick with her though. I'm going to see what happens, you know?
Yeah. See, I guess I don't get the math at all. So that's why I like, don't know what I'm doing, but because from my perspective, think that if you pick the winner from the start and you just keep putting the money in the winner, that at the end, if they win, you make the most money. But
if they go
not
down, though, we'd lose money. So you might not, be gaining on the money that you have on them. So
see, apparently my theory is wrong.
It is. Yes. Okay. Adam says it's about timing, which is correct. Yes. Like if Jace is doing very poorly for most of the season and then has a surprise win, then the surprise win will net you a ton of money if you predict it from that point. But you know, going in on Jace as she's doing poorly all season long will only lose you money.
Okay. Well, this is, you know, although to be fair, I am winning right now. So I don't know. Maybe you should trust me on these things.
Maybe we should. All right. Well, any final thoughts, Melissa, on the week?
Just that this has been consistently a very exciting season. I mean, every week there's something new going on. I think that honestly, I think Kirsten was right about the slang being in like the HOH water or like a gas being pumped in or something, because every time there's a new HOH, that person goes kind of nutso cuckoo. So it'll be interesting to see who the HOH room's next target is. And we'll see how the next week goes. But so far, so good.
All right. Chantel, any final thoughts?
I'm just praying that Herman just gets wind of what's happening here and really is able to figure out a pitch that gets him to stay in the game. Like, that would be the most exciting, I think, just to see him be able to crawl out of this hole. I really want to see what he's capable of doing later in this game. So I love that we have somebody in this game that's playing so hard that we're rooting. We're like, you can do it. Like, we believe in him. And like, we don't often get a lot of characters or people on these seasons that we really want to see what they can do. So I want to see what he can do. I think that he could save himself this week, and I'm praying that that's going to happen. But regardless, I know that it's going to be fun watching him try. So fingers crossed.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this week on the Roundtable. Lots of fun here this season. Very much enjoying what's going on. Make sure you, of course, tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, where I will update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. And then I will be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episode tomorrow night live with all of you, then watching Survivor. Then we'll be recapping the episode. I think Melissa will be joining me for the Big Brother recap, and then Cammy should be joining me on the Survivor Stock Watch. So make sure you tune in for that. Should be a lot of fun. Also check out the Taryn Show with Claire this week. And coming up for the next Taryn Show, I just spoke with Gabby from Survivor, and we had a very fun conversation. So make sure you check that one out. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. I tweet out the survey for this podcast every week after the Tuesday morning update, so you can fill it out there if you want to. That's what we've got. Chantel, where can people find you?
Well, you can definitely find me on Instagram at ShanFranFran, which has all my socials. There's a lot of them. And on YouTube, my channel is Reality Realness with three S's. Go live often talking about reality TV, of course. So find me. I'm everywhere.
All right. And of course, you can find Melissa at It's Melissa. Three A's. Three of them. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. And we will see all of you.
I knew it. I was waiting.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.